It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char-broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome. You listen to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, we appreciate you tuning in each and every week. I don't know about your house, Bob, but I spent a few days. I was off last week on the show. You guys probably didn't miss me. But I was in Florida, and spring has sprung there. But heck, man, I think I brought it back to Michigan with us. It's pretty dang nice these last few days.
Well, thanks for coming back, and you look great with that golden tan.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there's a story behind every tan, isn't there?
Yeah. And cancer.
Right. Not
for,
funny. I got a little, after I, you know, because the first time you get this stark white body out in the sun, you get a sunburn. I mean, it doesn't feel like you do till about 8 o'clock at night. And it's like, wow, this really hurts. Well, I got this little spot on my shoulder that didn't tan. It grayed. Got to go get that thing checked out. Everything else got all bright red. And that little spot about the size of a dime is like, not the one I wanted to see, so I got to take a look at that. And
I use Dr. Ashak.
Well, maybe I'll go see him. Yeah, I'm serious because
they're awesome.
That's nothing I don't think I want to play with. So
no, he's an amazing fellow.
Yep. But yeah. Not so Horshack, anyway, but Ashak.
Right? Yeah. Mr. Carter. Florida food, Joppy. What'd you eat?
I ate a lot of things that weren't good for me, but I just I did eat a couple things that were Florida-ish and. One that you've had many times, I think, but I had never had, and I was almost chickened out, but then I said, hey, what the heck, it can't kill me, right? And that was
Gator?
Escargot.
Oh.
We went to the docks, not that they were fresh snails, I don't know, but it was on the menu, and the people that we were with ordered two orders of it, and it was
funny. How'd they serve it?
What? It's on a little ceramic
special
plate,
dish,
and the little cups in there, and the little snails. They were out of the shell. You didn't have to pick them out yourself.
Right.
They were in there, and there was some. I think what was garlic butter, and then they served like a little crostini. To put them on. But being naive as I was, because I'd never eaten snails before. I reached down to pick one up, and that little freaking ceramic plate was about 400 degrees on the end of the thumb. I'm like, well, I guess
I'll teach you to use the little snail fork.
Right. I was putting the little toast point down there, and I was just going to flick it on. Yeah, there it goes. But anyway, so that was kind of fun.
They have those, I think they're like pewter or aluminum. Some are cast, but they're generally like
this one was ceramic, man, and it was hot.
Well, my point is they put the snails in with a little butter and garlic, basically, and salt and pepper probably, and then they just throw it in the broiler for like a minute.
Well, I think it was in there more than a minute because that dish was really hot.
Did you have any good fish?
I had snook that was really good at a place called Snook's down in Marco Island. We went down there for an afternoon evening, and we were in Naples is where we were, so it was an easy little trip down there. And I just had it broiled, and it was just a mild, flaky fish, and I thought it was very good, a nice portion of it. And then
like many of the good-tasting fish, it's a rather ugly fish.
Right, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it reminded me I did eat scallops when I was down there, and they're a seafood. And we've given this recipe before, but I was going to do it again because this is actually kind of how it was prepared. I just didn't have this much of it. This is for a bunch of skewers, right? But basically a 350, 400-degree grill, I'm going to put this with some asparagus spears as well. So you just cut them to length and thread the scallops alternately with asparagus onto a skewer. Right, so you want a little bit bigger asparagus. You don't want the thinner ones, but a little bit bigger, and just 2-inch pieces, right? And you put those on there, and then grill the kebabs. And what I would do is drizzle a little lemon infused olive oil over top of those, and you'll know when they're done because the scallops go to opaque, almost white, and a dense color from kind of translucent when you put them on there.
Right,
but super easy. To do.
They cook really fast.
Yeah, they cook really fast, and you just need a little salt and pepper on them with that lemon oil, and that's the way they were served.
Make sure you rinse them.
Yeah, don't want the gravel, but I'm going to assume that that's all done. But anyway, so those were really my seafood, the snails, the snook, and then the scallops. So those are the three S's
escargot.
I had.
Escargot is It's a dying cuisine. It's old school continental cuisine that went away with a lot of the great restaurants like Duba's and Safies and,
right.
you know, the old school
right.
suit and tie.
Well, the thought of them is worse than the taste. I'll give you that right away. You know, I was looking for the little antennas going, hey, Chop, how you doing? You know, the two wiggly eyes. That didn't happen. They might have been there, but they were so shriveled up and cooked that it didn't matter. But and I didn't feel it tickle when it went down my throat because, you know, you had a lot of other stuff with it, and I chased it with a beer. Did drink a lot of beer. They have Yingling down there in Florida. We don't have it in Michigan.
All over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was my go-to while I was on vacation. Started out with some local IPA, and it kind of was a little too strong. It wasn't going to be an all-day deal for me if I stayed with that. So I went and got some Yingling.
You know, I used to be a pilot, right?
Right.
And I got a chance to be a pilot again last week. I cut 3 large trees down, and I got to pilot. So we had a tree looming that before Alex took off, some of his Army buddies came over and they had a bachelor's party for a weekend at our house. You might remember.
Right.
They had all kinds of semi-automatic weapons.
Or a going-away party.
It was for Skyler.
Right.
And all his buddies came over. It was probably about 6 of them, and they just had a great weekend. But they chose one of my giant hickories as a place to nail the target.
Oh, the backer for the target. Yeah.
And after a year and a half, that thing was leaning pretty good, and it was cracking, and it was headed for the house.
Oh.
So I had to take down a couple trees in front of it, which is good because it's where I want my pole barn anyway.
Right.
So, and let me tell you, it was a trick. It was a trick because it's a real widow maker when they got a crack in them.
Oh, yeah.
So I got my neighbor James to come up and drive the Jeep. I put a couple straps on it. I strapped one of them to the tree next to it just as a safety. And then I put my 150-foot, 1,200-pound rope on the Jeep and slung it up over a branch and secured it. And he tightened that up nicely. And he could have just about pulled it over because it was given when he started putting pressure on it. And I just put a couple little slices in the back and down she went.
Yeah.
And I'm screaming, go, 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 which is my routine when somebody's doing the pull.
Pulling a falling tree toward your vehicle.
Yes.
With one of your buddies in it.
That's why it's
this is rocket science, Bob. I'm telling you, man.
That's why it's 150-foot rope.
Right. So was the tree 145?
Pretty much.
All right. You're good then, right? Yeah.
But when that thing hit, it landed on one of the stumps I had left prior from the two trees in front of it I took down. And the ground shook. This thing is probably 20 inches, 24 inches at the base.
Yep.
Needless to say, I have 2 beautiful 10-foot hickory logs that are going to the mill.
Yeah, sure. Yep. That'll make beautiful interior wood.
Yeah, and then a maple and a white oak. So got to do that. I've been looking for a job. I got a couple job offers, and I think maybe one or two more coming in. So I'm really excited about some of these companies.
Well, there's a lot of opportunity out there. I'm sure there is.
There are. Yeah. Most of them I don't want. They all say the same thing. When they do that, I'm just like, click, click, click.
Yeah.
But a couple of them just kind of jumped out at me, and I'm just really excited. So I'll get to tell you. Maybe in a week or two, which one I've selected.
Yeah, good for you.
And if they don't fill them before I say yes.
Well, you know, here's the deal, Bob. When you're looking for a job, I think what's meant to be is meant to be.
Yep.
And
got to pray on it.
Right. And if you're going to, here's my deal at my age, your age, our age, is that I want to do something I want to do.
That's me.
I mean, I've done things that I haven't wanted to do, and I'm doing what I want to do. So, you know what? The money's important, but it's not everything.
Right.
I guess is where I'm at.
Yep.
Is that, and you got to have some benefits for your kids and your family rather if you got it, and you and your wife, and so it's all this one of those
and
things.
And 2 of the 4 I really want to do, and it looks like the earning potential is phenomenal.
Right. Yep.
So.
And if you're not willing to, or if you're not afraid of taking a chance, and you're willing to work on a commission basis, then which you and I both are, we kind of thrive on that.
So I cut my teeth.
Then in fact, it becomes a good deal.
Because I need a pole barn.
Right.
And I got the green light from Mama, so all I got to do is.
Oh, she did. She knows how you roll, brother. She just gave you that for motivation. But anyway, coming up next, smoking is better than ever, according to Bob. Depends on what you put in your pipe. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Ben Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fenville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fen Valley Vineyards.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey, engineering better Michigan beer.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. It's the Grilling Guys, and spring has sprung, I hope, where you are. It has here in Michigan, where we are, and we're kind of thinking about maybe doing some grilling.
And smoking.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about smoking. Barbecue Bob, I think we should put it out there that I think there's going to be some high school seniors that are going to have graduation parties this year. COVID's letting up a little bit. I think people are pent up. There's a lot of desire out there. And Barbecue Bob and I do graduation party food, if you're interested in it. Hit us on Facebook. It's the Grilling Guys on Facebook. Message us, and we can have a conversation about that because we can bring some really good barbecue. We bring it ready to eat, and it's in serving pans, and all you got to do is set it out and let them go after it.
Yeah, especially if we can pre-plan them and get the smoker going and do them all the same day.
Well, if they're in the the parties that are all the same day, we just book them weekend after weekend usually.
Because our capacity is quite large, so it's more economical, obviously.
Yep. You get the smoker hot, fill it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
The show plan says beer rib variations. It's supposed to say beef rib.
Oh, ours and apps, they're right by each other. One's above the other, right? I get it. It's that heavy finger.
Well, yeah. We've done beef ribs quite a few times, but I think because we like them so much, it's easy just to touch on it briefly. And some people don't have a smoker.
Right.
So they might shy away from them. And we'll walk you through a couple ways to cheat that out, too. One way, of course, if you don't have a smoker, is just to grill them and then pull them off when they look beautiful and put them in a pan, cover it, and put a little bit of beef broth, a little Worcestershire in there, and throw them in the oven and let them run for 3 or 4 hours.
How warm?
350 is usually a pretty easy go-to.
You really, if you keep them cold, sealed like that with moisture on them, you can't overcook them. Hardly. I mean, you could, obviously, but I'm just saying that if you put them in there 3 hours or 4 hours, you aren't going to hurt them that much.
Yeah.
Put
them in for a couple hours and then lift the lid. Watch that steam. It's going to bite you.
Yeah.
And just put your fork into it. And if you can start to tear it away nicely, make it to the doneness that you like it.
Right.
But it takes quite a bit. Beef ribs are really stubborn.
Right. But I tell you what, though, the end product is worth the work. Because those beef ribs are, it's brisket on a stick, right? Really is what it is. And it was hooked to, a piece of really good steak that was on the edge of that rib.
Yep.
So it's always going to be full of flavor. And it's going to be a ribeye on a stick, or brisket on a stick, depending on which end of the ribs you did it with.
Well, and I guess the reason that it came to mind when I'm putting this together is because I'm coming to the end of my cow, and I have another one that'll be ready next month. And there'll be a quarter available if you want something, by the way. But this is from a friend of mine in Mount Pleasant who fattens them with candy bars that he buys from Mars, the company.
Right.
Stale candy bars, and they run them through a machine, strip them, put them in a 50-gallon drum, and he buys it for bear bait. Well, he started fattening up his cows. And I'm telling you, this stuff looks like Wagyu.
They're diabetic, though, the cows are now?
Dedabetic.
Yeah, right.
Pretty much.
Don't have time to get to disease,
I don't think that's a big concern if they have a headache or not. They're going to have one in a minute.
Right, yeah.
But so as I'm going through the freezer, I notice I only have one steak left, which is so sad, and just a couple packs of hamburger, but I do have some beef ribs.
Yeah.
So I'll be pulling some of those out this week and throwing them in on the smoker, get that Cajun fired up, and I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I just can't hide it.
I kind of have a need to feed. I want to get the big grill going. Did you ever do the gas thing on that?
Not yet.
Okay. But we should get together and do that.
I think you could come out and help me.
Right.
I'll go to...
What we're talking about is I have a good one. It used to be Bob's. I have it now. And we modified the firebox to insulate it better, because that good one was just a giant hunk of iron. And anytime you got in the cold, man, it really just chewed up the fuel.
We're going to add some gas to
it. Right. But now that we've insulated the firebox, it doesn't get as hot as it used to get. And if you're outside in the cooler or cold weather, you can't hardly cook on it. You can't get a fire hot enough.
We'll fix that.
But we're fixing it. We're going to do a little gas assist.
Yep.
Right. We're going to do a little gas assist to that thing. So we're modifying what otherwise was a good grill, and now it's going to be a great grill. So
if you do have a smoker, beef ribs are a must, and you've probably already tried them. You may or may not have had success, but you're going to treat them like brisket. You're going to smoke them until they're pulling away from the bone nicely. Mine are all shorts, even though I told them to cut them long. So with a short rib, it'll do like a long rib. It's going to pull away from both ends. When you cut them long, it generally all pulls down to one end, so you have a great handle.
Right.
It's a Fred Flintstone piece of meat.
Sure.
But either way, when they get all drawn up like that and you think they're about done, that's when you're going to want to pull them, throw them in a pan, and wrap them. Because, again, you want to finish them off with in a sealed container so you can keep your liquids. You can hydrate them nicely.
So let's go all the way back to the beginning. You're going to buy these ribs, the average person, from the butcher, right? And the butcher is going to prepare these ribs the way he or she usually cuts them. And you're going to get them that way. What do you do with them? Once I get them home, I open the butcher paper, and there's a set of ribs. How am I going to season those? Do I need to prep them anyway? Let's start at the beginning.
Well, there's lots of ways, of course, as you know, to season. I've gotten lazy in my old age, and I just buy it now because we have so many friends that make bulk, like Billy Bones.
Right.
Which I've recently met the people that own that operation, and I still love that master's blend of Billy Bones.
Mm-hmm.
There's Texas Two Guns. There's just a whole bunch of great. But you can also just take a nice blend of a garlic, onion powder, salt and pepper, and a little touch of sugar and make your own. It doesn't have to be complicated.
Right. But so you season it up, and then do you let that seasoning set on there a while? Is that important, or do you just?
I don't spend too much. I don't fret over that.
How warm's the smoker then?
Also, you're going to notice that it's got a membrane on it.
Right.
You are not going to take that off.
Right. Yeah, you
it
can't.
It does not want to come off like a pork rib.
Right.
So, you know, you're going to probably smoke them 4 or 5 hours. And then you're going to hydrate them.
Like 250?
Whatever you typically. You know, 275 is my brisket temperature.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you like. But I want to get some good smoke on there, so I'm going to keep the temperature low and slow.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Don't oversmoke them. Don't use strong wood. Fruit wood or, you know, apple, cherry, something like that is good.
I got a new neighbor who moved in where Bill was, and he came over smiling the other day, and he goes, I was looking at your website, and I followed some of your tips, and I made some ribs, so I brought you a rack of ribs. He was so happy. And he says, I want your opinion. And I gave him my opinion kind of brutally on the spot.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Overdone?
Oh, way oversmoked.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had him on. He did the 3-2-1 method, which I've never thought was any kind of brilliant idea. So I tightened him up a little bit and tuned him up. And I look forward to seeing the next set he brings.
Yeah, well, it's easy to oversmoke something because it's easy to put too much smoke in your chamber, and that's it. So that's probably what he did. It wasn't the 3-2-1. It was the fact there was too much smoke in the chamber.
Like
we can talk
like
about
a frat party.
Time. Yeah, right, yeah. Coming up next, maybe it's a little time springs here, a little grill tune-up. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance. While you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grillin' Guys. You know, Bob, it's been a while since I've been north, about a month or two, but the last time I was up there, I stopped at Chase Creek, and they were still under pretty tight COVID constraints, but they had a fire going out there.
Yeah.
And you could order food, and they'd bring it out to you by the fire. And,
right.
And Lisa and I just had a cocktail. We didn't eat, but there was a lot of people that were. So I got to believe now that we're loosened up a little bit, that's got to be a fun place to go.
Well, that's why I wanted to throw that in there with the beef ribs, because we got too long, couldn't mention it. But they make a wonderful beef rib.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody can do it right. So when it comes to barbecue, it's probably one of the best barbecue restaurants in Michigan.
Right.
And I'm picky, really picky. Now, Pat and Linda are friends. So I'll put that disclaimer out there.
Yeah, but you just dogged your neighbor for making bad ribs. So if you were going to do it, you'd do it to them
exactly,
too, right?
Yeah, exactly. And Pat's the one I bought the motorhome from, which is gone.
Yeah, I know.
See ya.
So you didn't buy it. You just borrowed it for about 5 months and then sold it again. But,
yeah.
Yeah, but anyway.
Turned a quick buck.
So, yeah, nothing wrong with that. He's happy. You're happy. Everybody's happy. So, you know, the weather's turned unseasonably warm for us this last week. I don't know about where you are, but I'm digging it. And so it makes me think about doing more grilling. I never stop. You don't either. But a lot of people, you know, slow down quite a bit. So now maybe this warmer weather, I mean, it's in the 60s in Michigan in March is warm, right? So we always touch on this every spring, and we probably will again even, about tuning up your grill.
Right.
You put it away this fall.
Yep.
Let me tell you a story real quick, and then we'll get to this because it involves taking care of your grill. We were down at the place where we stayed. They have a community pool. It's not, and so they walk in there and they've got a built-in KitchenAid grill, 5 burners, big one, and it's free to use propane. It's free to use if you want to, right? So
China,
right? We go down there and we got 4 ribeyes and we're gonna grill some steaks and corn and baked potatoes by the pool. Spend the day, get some sun, have a good time, whatever. Go over there to that grill. I open it up. That thing hadn't been cleaned in months. I mean, the grates were like the size of a penny. There was so much stuff just gunked on them, and there was grease in the bottom of it. So the guy I'm with, he goes, so what do we do now, grilling guy? And I said, we're going to crank this thing up as high as it goes and just walk away. He's like, what? And in about 15 minutes, that thing hit 600 degrees, and the smoke's starting to come out of it. Right? I said, watch this. And I walked over there, and I took the pool stick where they pull you out of the water if you had, and the other end of it, and I just lifted the lid, and that thing got a gulp of air. Boom! Up goes the flames.
All the fat was on fire.
Well, it was, and it was burning out of that thing 3 foot tall. The girls are like, oh, what are you going to do? You're going to burn the place down. First of all, it was a grill island, right? So I'm not going to burn anything down.
Shut the lid.
Right. No, I let it go because it was cooking. That black smoke was just, it was just coal black smoke. This thing was filthy. 10 minutes later, that fire went out. And then we closed the grill, let it cool, and then we cooked on it.
So if you're listening to this, I'm going to critique my buddy here.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you, when you're at your house doing that, don't do what he did.
Correct.
Because he didn't own the grill, so he didn't really care what happened. But what will happen when you have that massive fire is it's going to get so hot that it's above design spec, and you're going to warp grates, you're going to discolor the stainless, and potentially have just a nightmare scenario on your hands. So you didn't own it, you didn't care.
Right.
But if it's your grill, you will care, and just shut the lid and let that thing keep going the way it was. You were having fun.
Right.
And there might have been alcohol involved.
Not close, because it had caught on fire.
So, so don't try this at home, kids. Just leave the lid shut. Let that thing, and if yours ever gets that bad, shame on you for one thing, and you'll never do it again. But burn that thing off for at least a half hour.
Right.
And if it's infrared, you got to be careful because it will superheat.
Right.
And you should know how to clean that by now.
Right.
Or you will get a lesson.
Which I do. My infrared, a Tech grill, again, Bob provided, is they've got a glass, a sheet of glass between the burner and the grates. That's what makes it infrared, the technology. And that when it's cold, not when it's hot, when it's absolutely cold, you haven't used it, you can take my grates off and clean that piece of glass because that's what catches everything in that grill.
Right.
So it's nice. But anyway, so let's talk about gas grills, the right way to clean them as opposed to what I just talked about.
Spanked on air.
Right.
Well,
that's two of us today.
You just need to take the thing apart. Gas grill, if you don't take yours apart, that means you don't know how. Don't worry about it. It goes back together just as easily as it comes to part. You're going to take your grates off, and you might have some flavor bars or something like that. You'll see your burners, whatever style you have. They will typically lift out. If they don't, there's a screw in the back on the end of each ribbon burner, and take that screw out. If there's no screw and they don't come out, it means you have never cleaned it, and you're going to have to jerk on it.
Right. So when they're built, if you were to ever buy one unassembled, all those parts are loose, and that's why we know that they come out and that there's connectors on them that can be loosened and everything can come out.
Yeah, you're going to have jets on the valve ends where your burner valves are. It's going to go into a manifold, either singly or multiple, however it's built. But there's going to be an orifice there, and that ribbon burner or T-burner, whatever it has on it, is going to just literally slide over that orifice, and there will be a shutter on it. And that's how you adjust your air for a good burn. If it's burning too yellow, you're going to soot up. You don't want a yellow flame. You want a blue flame on
a
gas grill.
You want a little more air in it. If it's yellow, give that shutter a little bit of open, and it'll suck a little more air, and it'll burn more efficiently. Blue flames are good flames.
Yeah, it takes 94% oxygen, 6% fuel for proper combustion.
Okay.
So lots of air. And it's not like a fireplace where you're going to purposely run your gas log starved to get a nice yellow flame, which is why the logs soot up.
So a couple things. If you take the grates out, those ribbon or those burner guards, flavor bars, whatever they are, they're usually like a little triangle to keep grease and stuff right off the burner.
Deflectors, yes.
It's a deflector. Pick those out of there. You can hit those with a wire brush. Just knock the stuff off them.
Yep.
They're not there to be pretty. They're just there to do their job, and that is catch stuff that doesn't hit the burner.
What I'll very often do is I'll take an old spatula, and I'll just scrape the junk off them, and I'll throw them in some hot water and just let them set for about an hour.
Right.
On air.
Putty knife works really good, too. You know, you got various widths of those, so you're cleaning bigger surfaces or smaller ones. And I use that same putty knife in the bottom of the grill, the actual housing of the grill. When you got the burner out, you're going to have gunky stuff in there.
Oh, boy.
Right?
Might even be a little fuzz growing.
Right, exactly. So what you want to do is get the burners out, like Bob talked about.
Have a small cardboard box to throw all that junk in because you're going to make a mess.
Right.
You might even throw a tarp down underneath the grill because lots of stuff will drop out the lower ports, which are there for oxygen.
Right. Yep. So, but clean that stuff all out. Take plan on it. Be wear a pair of rubber gloves. Wear a pair of cotton gloves.
Absolutely.
Something, because you're going to get this stuff all
Put
over you.
Put your food service gloves on because that stuff doesn't want to come off very easily.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but it can be done. Now, what you don't want to do is put any cleaners
ever
in there.
Ever.
Do not put like fantastic spick and span or gunk remover or
oven off
or anything, because that you'll never get it 100% clean, and that stuff will permeate whatever's left in there.
Well, if you do that, and then you'll have to burn it for a while.
Right.
You're going to taste it. That.
See, when you do oven cleaner in your house, that thing is on a self-clean, spray it in there, then you heat it up for 400 degrees and let it go for a while before you ever cook anything in it. You can do that, but your house oven's a much more efficient chamber than your grill. And so the bottom line is, under the flames, it doesn't get as hot as over the flames. In an oven, the whole thing gets hot. Point is, avoid the cleaners if you can. Just use warm water and a putty knife, and you'll get all you need to get it out of there.
And make sure when you line those burners back up, that you slide it over the orifice properly, and you don't play with that shutter because it's already preset for you. If you do, you're going to have to reset it. And look at there, it's 8:30, and we're still at the orifice.
Yeah, right. But the orifice, one thing, sometimes little spiders will get in there and pack dirt in that orifice, and if you try to light your grill and it doesn't work, you're not getting any gas, that could be one of the issues.
Just take a wrench to it, pull it off, and get a toothpick.
Right. Yep. Run it through there.
Yep. Make sure you blow it out.
So there you are. We spent what we were going to do for gas, charcoal, and smokers. We just spent it all on a gas grill. Welcome to the Babbling Grilling Guys. But coming up next, we might hit the charcoal grill or smoker, or we might not. You never know. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat and no tofu. With me and Chop, it never gets dull. A grill's so big, it's like a ship's hull. Grillin' Guys, I tell no lies. Do some great things to chicken thighs. When we're at the grill, smoking up a rack, a little taste is just like crack. We're backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody grills a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grillin' Guys rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. So check us out and have no doubt, the Grillin' Guys will make the crowd shout. Stick around and put down the rake, fire up the grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows, you gotta listen to the Grillin' Guys Show. That's it.
Welcome back. This is the Grillin' Guys. We were talking about cleaning your grill. Bob, you want to talk about charcoal grills?
I think we should finish it.
All right.
Because the other stuff that's in here, we can do another time. But I think a charcoal grill, if you didn't clean it in the fall or if you used it all winter, now is a great time to do a thorough cleaning, because you get a lot of ash holding up in the bottom. Even if you have an ash pan, it's amazing how much stuff, like, again, my Cajun has a nice big heavy ash pan, but there's always ash that falls to the side, and it, because of the grease and whatever, it's sort of a V-shaped bottom, which is why it's so efficient, but the grease tends to hit those spots, and then the ash sticks to it, so you get a really thick layer of gunk.
Yeah.
And there's your putty knife or spatula time, and you're going to want to make sure you again, just really give it a thorough cleaning.
Well, and generally, charcoal grills aren't stainless like a gas grill is.
Right.
So that stuff is caustic. And what it'll do is it'll start eating away.
It has sulfuric acid in it.
Right. It'll start eating away at the metal if you don't keep it clean. Now, it isn't something you need to do every time. But once a month with the charcoal grill, and I get in there, and it jacks up your shop vac. So if you've got one that's older or new or whatever, then use the oldest one. But I get in there with the shop vac going, and I just scrape that putty knife and suck that stuff up into the shop vac, because that way I don't get it all over everything when I'm cleaning it.
Right.
But still, wear your gloves, wear a shirt you don't really care
about.
It's
a mess.
Because it's going to be a mess when you get
in. It's a mess.
There.
And whatever you do, like if you notice, if you have a black grill, if it's a Weber kettle, it's going to be porcelain, so it won't be a problem. But some grills, like the old Phoenix and the Holland grill and whatever, it would have paint on the inside of the hood. That paint's going to want to peel off. Scrape it off.
Right.
Don't put any more paint on it, because the first few cooks you get, you're going to get a layer of grease and whatnot that'll protect it, and just leave it be. What you'll also notice, if it's old enough and it's not a kettle, because the kettles will last virtually forever, is that bottom might be getting soft.
Right.
If it is, put that thing by the side of the road. Let somebody else burn their deck, because if that bottom gives out and you're on a wooden deck without proper fire protection on the floor, which none of us have,
right?
If that ash falls out of there, it's burning at 1,200 degrees if it's lump charcoal, and it will go right through your synthetic deck, or it'll ignite your wooden deck.
Right.
And ask your local fire chief how many house fires he's had because somebody was grilling.
Right.
I know a guy that even burnt his siding.
That can't happen.
Same guy almost burned his garage down.
So
and he's a pro.
Right. So let me
tell you. Do you still have that grill, by the way?
I do.
What was it? What brand was that gas grill?
What? Oh, it's a. I still got it.
Broil King?
Broil King.
Okay.
Broil King.
No, Broil King.
Broil King, yeah.
Broil King has little flavor briquettes in it.
Uh-huh.
So when you're cleaning one of those.
Lava briquettes.
They're ceramic.
Yep.
And you can flip those over.
Right.
And then it'll burn off the stuff. You don't have to try and clean them. They'll disintegrate. So just flip those over and burn it after you put it back together.
Exactly.
And that's all you got to do.
Oh, there's one more thing that we haven't talked about, and this is of paramount importance. I am not joking. Get a new grill brush every year. Spend the $9, $12, $15. Throw the one you went working on all year. Throw it away. Those little wires will break off there, and they stick to your grates, or they'll get in your food, and you do not want one of those down your gullet.
Better yet, don't even use those.
Right.
Get the type that look like a scrubber pad, or the company we had out here from New Mexico that uses crushed glass to make those wafers.
Right.
Get one of those.
Right.
I still use mine all the time.
I burned through those too quickly. I mean, I was cleaning it after do that new pad like every second time I brush.
No.
So
No, you're pushing too hard.
One I like is the wooden paddle. It looks like a miniature canoe paddle. It's about a foot and a half long with a wide flat blade on the end. And you just scrub that on there, and eventually it'll get little ridges in it and it'll go right down your grates. And it cleans it off perfect. And
what I did was I tooled a butter knife for the width of my grates. I put it on the grinder and ground it down. And I just pull that thing through there, and it scrapes the sides beautifully. And there's a satisfaction to having a clean grill.
Oh, yeah.
And on the Tech in particular, I have to use that quite often because that's kind of my go-to piece on gas.
Right. Tech is a tall, thin like a half inch high and a 16th wide. It's a bar that is the grate, and they're nice because they're aluminum. They heat up nice,
stainless.
But they clean easy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. And then my Cajun has porcelainized round, like quarter inch at least, steel, and that cleans up beautifully. I just put one of those stone pads on there, and I've got one sized for that and one sized for the Tech. And I just run that over a couple times, and the junk just falls off.
Right.
It's really easy.
If you're in a pinch, you can wad up a ball of tinfoil.
That's right.
and rub that back and forth on there. Make sure you got a big enough ball that your fingers aren't close to the grates, because you want to do that one when it's warm. It works better when the grill is still warm to rub the tin foil on it. But as long as you got a big enough ball that your knuckles aren't rubbing on
or
a hot grate,
mitts on.
Yeah, or have your mitts on it. Yeah, that one works good though.
Yeah,
because you know a lot of times you had something wrapped when you came out to the grill, and then the tin foil's still laying there. Just wad it up and rub it down with that. It'll knock a lot of that stuff right off there. You know, another thing for tin foil. You know, I'm a big tin foil fan.
He loves his tin foil. Right, yeah. I saw you wearing a hat in your car the other day that made of tin foil.
Yeah, right. Well, I was headed back to the future.
Another UFO experience, I guess. So then smokers, oh boy, there's a 2-hour talk, because if it's a pellet smoker, it's going to be a bit of a job, and I'll let you do this one.
Okay. So I have a couple pellet smokers. I enjoy using my pellet smoker. It's a set it and forget it. It's not active grilling. It's passive grilling in my mind. I don't use it to grill a steak. I do slow stuff. I'll do jalapeno poppers, ribs, whatever. So this thing has grates. You pull them out, and then there's a deflector. So the air chamber on the one I have, it's a Louisiana grill, it blows it under the food, the warm air, and then it comes up the end and has to come all the way back to get out.
So it has a deflector plate.
Right. So you got to take that deflector plate out of there. That's what catches all the gunk, is that deflector plate.
Little tip, you can line that after you clean it. You can line that with aluminum foil.
Right.
And then it cleans up next time, really easy.
Exactly. So you're going to get ash in there from a pellet grill, and you're going to get all the drippings from whatever you cooked in there. And typically what the pellet grills do is they'll make all that stuff run to one end of the grill, and then there's some sort of receptacle, a bucket or a can or whatever it is, underneath there to catch the drippings. Well, somewhere between where those drippings start and where that can is a bunch of mess.
Because it cools off.
Right. Before it gets there, it tries. You get about half of it out of there, and the other half stays in.
And that's a great point. If you don't clean that up, what happens?
Fire!
No, it backs up.
Right.
And the grease starts running out the other end.
Right. No, I'm talking about fire in the firebox. We'll cover that one in a minute.
I understand that, but right. I've never seen that in a pellet smoker, but what I have seen is grease coming out where it's not supposed to, and that's because I have built a dam.
Right, and then you've got grease all over your driveway, and your wife's not going to be happy with you, and you're probably not going to be either. So, but anyway, take it apart, clean it, putty knife, same thing, no chemicals, and that's the way we want you to do it. All right, coming up next, we missed a whole segment right there, but that's okay. So we'll have a bunch to talk about. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of, to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week to The Grilling Guys. We've kind of been bouncing all over. I was out last week, so we had a lot to catch up on. And
had the best show ever last week.
Right. That's because Bob did a monologue, right? If you tuned in, I'd really like you to hit me on Facebook and let me know how that really was. Because mysteriously, I didn't get a copy of the show when it was sent out. So we'll see. No idea.
Well, you can actually check your podcast because you should be downloading the show.
Right.
And check our website out.
Oh, it's there too. Yes, it is.
You can sign up for podcasts. A lot of people, I mean, I haven't checked the numbers recently, but it's many hundreds, if not in the thousands of downloads. So apparently that's a great way to listen.
Sure.
You can fast forward through the stupid stuff.
Right. The monologue.
I think we need to do a little man law.
Okay. Do it up, man.
Now you're a man. A man, now you're a man. A man. You are now a man, you're a man. Now you're a man.
A real man. man is involved in his family. And that really hits home as the grandkids keep coming now. And I watch my kids getting older. And I have, of course, a couple off serving. You really want to cherish the time you have with your family. And it's just so important, because the next thing you know, they're going to be putting you in a box.
Right. And that happens.
It does.
I did that.
Always.
My vacation in Florida last week was all family. We stayed with my brother and his wife for a night, and then a cousin and her husband for four nights. And
so you were the freeloader.
I was, man. It was great. I bought a lot of drinks, so, man, thanking everybody. But at the end of the day, I went down there. My brother just moved to Florida, my first time down to see him. And damn, if he's not struggling, man, he's got health issues that are slowing him down.
It's hard to watch.
He's gonna be okay. I mean, nothing is fatal, but he's got bulging discs and nerve problems, and you know, and it's like, shoot, man, he just went down there. He'd been there less than 3 months to retire. Mm-hmm. And enjoy your golden years. Well, suffering is all he's doing. I mean, he couldn't even ride in a car.
So the lesson, don't retire.
Right, right, exactly. Well, he's 70. He waited till he was 70, but he gets down there.
I have a brother in Florida during the winter, and he has Parkinson's.
Yeah.
So you want to talk about struggle.
Well, sure. And
it's
that's
so
a disease.
Tough. Yep. So tough to watch that happen.
Yeah. So good point. Great man law.
Yeah.
Yep. But... you know, now's the time. I actually, later today, I've got a contractor coming over to look at remodeling my bathroom and a room adjacent to it, doing some work on the back of the house out toward the pool. And but, you know, it's the time of year. If you're thinking about doing any remodeling projects in your house, word up, get with your contractors now, because you might have a problem getting on somebody's schedule
might
if you wait
late.
Much longer.
Yeah, might
right?
be too late.
Might even be too late.
You're gonna get your work out in October or November.
Right.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
But I guess I wanted to think about the remodeling stuff in terms of your grill area.
Yeah.
Because, as you know, I was going to put a roof over my whole back deck last year, and I didn't get it done. I just have so many jobs around the place. I have stonework to do yet, and... I think by the time I'm dead, it'll all be done. But
it'll look good for the kids when they take over the house.
Yeah,
right.
Great inheritance. But I think
Maureen's new husband will like it, because you killed yourself doing it, and she's gonna be around. Yeah.
But I think one thing to consider is my buddy Danny Skiff. He's been on the show multiple times from Texas.
Right.
He built a really cool little area in his backyard. It's just a cement pad with four posts and then some handmade beams, and he put a pitched roof over it, steel roof,
uh-huh.
and he does his grilling under that. And that is just a wonderful way to secure your grilling area and weatherproof it, because the rain's a-coming.
Oh, yeah, always does. And it's hard on your equipment when it stays outside.
No, it's hard on you.
Yeah, right. You are getting soft. You hunt in a motorhome now, you grill under a roof, man. Pretty soon you're going to be taking a blow-up bed to camp with you. But anyway. All right. Well, you've been listening to Grilling Guys, our weekly babble back and forth. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I did. And if you didn't, well, then that's your prerogative.
It'll be better next week.
Right, yeah.
We promise.
Right. But be safe out there. Get out, create some grill envy in your neighborhood, and fire up a grill. We'll talk to you next week.
See you.